speak new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will be well. Then indeed, after speaking to them, the Lord was taken up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And going out, they proclaimed everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by miraculous signs following. And then to back up into Acts chapter 1, it's really forward, but it's just moving back a little bit. It says, "Truly, O Theophilus, I made the first report as to all things that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up, having given direction to the apostles whom he chose through the Holy Spirit, to whom he also presented himself living after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them through 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So we were looking at the fact through this series that Jesus first said, go and wait. Go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. They didn't know what that was exactly. They didn't know exactly what that looked like, but they went and they waited. I imagine these guys, because they already showed it when Jesus found them out in the lake fishing, that they were ready to get on with their life and do something. They had to make plans. They were ready to go. But Jesus told them now, go wait. And being the kind of people they were, I'm pretty sure it was hard to wait. Just like being the kind of people that most of us are, it's hard to wait. It's hard to sit still, not knowing what to expect or when it's going to get there, that you would wait before God. I always think of like James, Hoopy, like fisherman. Fishermen can sit and wait and wait and wait for something they don't know exactly what's going to end up on their hook and when it's going to come. But they have the patience to wait. But we need to develop that kind of patience, just to wait before God, to see what he would do. And they waited, and then on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit came. There was a mighty rushing wind. There was tongues of fire on each head. I think sometimes we read through that and we don't really think about it, but that's pretty freaky when you're in a room like this, and all of a sudden there's a big wind in the room, and then everywhere you look, there's tongues of fire on top of people's heads. That's crazy. But that's what the Holy Spirit did. And then they began to flood out in the street and speak in tongues that they didn't know themselves, but other people understood. So that they could clearly understand the gospel, that the good news that Jesus had died and rose again and had come to fulfill all the promises that the prophets had made. That's what happened. And that day, 3,000 people were added to the church. It was really important for them to go and wait. Just as it's really important for us to go and wait. Because the deal was that Jesus didn't only want them to be filled for themselves, right? Which they were. Their spiritual need was met. They had their spiritual thirst quenched when the Holy Spirit came. But he was preparing them for the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? To lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, to speak in tongues, to take risks, to not worry about your own self, but worry about the kingdom of God. That's what he was preparing them for. And by waiting and by receiving the Holy Spirit, they received this river inside of them that would spring forth so that fulfilling the Great Commission would be easy. When we go in our own strength, when we walk into the world in our own power, there's nothing we have to offer. We can maybe be a good friend. Maybe if we have a little bit of extra money, we could throw some money or some time or some energy. Maybe we could cut the lawn, or maybe we could be a soft place to land for people. But really, it's nothing. What people need, as we talked about in communion, is Jesus. They need to be bought back from their sin and have their sin paid for so they can live a life for God. If we go out in our own strength, we don't really have anything to offer. We can't offer people anything. But when we go out in the strength of the Spirit, then that life of God flows out of us to them. I know, because I experienced this in my life and in my family. I remember when we were filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember those days so clearly. We had this old van, and we would pack into that van with all the kids, and we always had four of us and four foster kids. And Mom and Dad would go everywhere. Anywhere that they heard someone was sick, they would pack us in the van, and we'd have to go to their house, and they would lay hands on them, and they would be healed. It happened. We would go places, and people with, you know, evil spirits in them would have them cast out. We saw God move in miraculous ways. I mean, we see it here. I think this morning we were praying for Frank out in the foyer. And I really believe God did something in Frank's body while we were praying. And that's what the New Testament church is about. And that's what I grew up with as a Christian, a young Christian in the Lord. We believe that God healed, that God set free, that God provided. Because there was a river of living water that was just oozing out of my parents. It was oozing out of them. I remember my dad was a pig farmer. He was a good guy. I think people liked him. But he's just a normal guy. He wasn't a guy that was always looking for all the attention. But people would be calling from all over the place. Come and speak at Full Gospel Businessmen's. Here and there and everywhere. They would call. And he'd go all over the place speaking because there was a river of living water that was flowing out of him. And it's flowing out of you and me if we're filled with the Spirit. I think sometimes we just are so busy with life that we forget to go back and just be refilled and refilled and refilled because we don't see a need. But the world needs us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about, being filled. So now we've taken the time. I hope over this last few weeks you've all taken some time just to get alone with God. Just to ask Him to fill you, to sit in His presence and say, I'm here just because I love you. Just because I want to be filled. Just because I want to know you more. Because I want you to fill me so you can pour me out. This is what we've been talking about. And if we don't do anything with what we're talking about, there's no point talking about it. But I hope that's what we've done. So we've all, over this past several weeks, been filled again with the Holy Spirit. Have that river of living water stirring in our hearts. And now we stand like the Amazing Race. You guys ever see that show? I like that show. They're all standing at the starting line and they're all ready to go, like 16 teams. And they've got something they're going to do and they're going to travel around the world and they're going to do their thing. We're like that right now. Filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to go. We're standing on the starting line. And we get to go into all the world. Starting here in this neighborhood, in this region, we get to go into all the world and spread the good news. We get to lay hands on the sick. We get to cast out devils. We get to speak in new tongues. We get to take some risks, right? If we eat any deadly thing, it won't hurt us. We're going to take some risks for the kingdom of God. We're going to not worry about ourselves. We're going to worry about God's kingdom. We're standing on the starting line. And God's ready to say, tag, you're it. Go. Go into the world and preach the gospel. But this is not a life, you know, it's not a game. It's not like the Amazing Race. We're playing a game here. If it's a game, that's for all the marbles. It's about life and death. It's everything. For our neighbors, for our people we work with, for the gas station guy, for the Tim Hortons person, for the doctors that we visit, for wherever we go, we are God's gift. We're given to them, and we need to pour ourselves out. We need to be ready to move. We need to be ready to go, ready to run. We get to represent God in this world, and we get to help redeem all things back to Him. We get to do that. That's our calling. That's what God's brought us here for. We get to carry the power and the authority of the name of Jesus everywhere we go. The Bible said that at that name, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for His glory. We get to heal the sick. We get to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, if you haven't been baptized, we're going to do one really soon. I'll have a date for you shortly, and then we're going to see those people that have given their hearts to Jesus but haven't been baptized, follow the Lord in baptism. We get to heal the sick. We get to cast out devils. We're not going to be concerned for our own health or welfare. We're going to just do it. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to go out and do it. I hope you're going to go out and do it. I'm going out and doing it. I think God's called us to do that. We get to represent God. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have to do what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And this is what it says from the Message Bible. I don't think you could say it any better than this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Take your everyday eating, sleeping, going to work life and give it as an offering for God, to God. So every day when you start your day, God, this is your day. I want to respond quickly and obediently to whatever you ask me to do. I don't know about you, but I've had times where I have felt God speak to me about something, and as I responded, God's done some great things. I've had other times where God's spoken to me about something, and I didn't respond, and I always wonder what could have happened if I did. We get a chance every day to hear God's voice. That's one of the advantages of being a Christian. The Bible says the sheep know His voice. His sheep know His voice. I think a lot of times people have forgotten that we actually can hear the voice of God. We can know God. We can be led by God. If you look back at a lot of the old hymns, and talked about this a little while ago, but you know, like in the turn of the century, the 20th century, a lot of the hymns were like about hearing His voice and listening to His voice and responding to His voice. And I think as Christians, in a lot of ways, we've forgotten about that. We've gotten so busy, and I keep saying this, but we have gotten so busy that we can't hear Him. That's why we need to take time aside. But we need to hear Him. We need to respond to Him. That's the best thing that we could do. That we would offer our lives as a living sacrifice to Him. I'm telling you, when you stand before God, when this life is over and we're done with what we live here on earth, and we stand before God, God doesn't care about how many hours you worked. God doesn't care about how many toys you've amassed. God doesn't care about all our cool trips. God doesn't care that we served on so many different like clubs and committees and all that stuff. All He cares about is that we served Him. So the best thing we could do is offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. As we're filled with the Spirit and we go into every day of our life, we need to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to Him each and every day. Every day. Have you ever noticed how quickly you could slip away from your purpose? How quickly you could become cold? I was just reading this morning because we're like Michael Vick is speaking in the halftime show tonight. I was just reading about him a bit this morning. And he was saying how when he was a Christian, when he was a child, he served God. He loved God. He read his Bible and prayed, and he was like, everything was good. But he started becoming successful. And he started forgetting about God. He started walking away from God. And he said to the point where one day, he forgot about God altogether. That he thought everything that he had ever done was because he was so good. And we're all just a few days away from that if we don't keep presenting ourselves as living sacrifices to God intentionally every day. So if we're going to live that Spirit-filled life and really fulfill the Great Commission, we're going to have to do a few things. First thing we're going to have to do is give up our lives to God and let all of Him swallow up all of you. All of Him covering all of you. So important. There's a place we must all come to in our relationship with God. And that place is a place of being fully surrendered to Him. Fully surrendered. It's hard to understand for us. As human beings, it's hard. But the Scripture is so full of this idea and this concept that when we gave our heart to Jesus, we died. We died to ourself. We represent this in baptism. We go under the water. We die to ourself, and then we rise to a new life with God. So the whole deal about being a Christian is to be dead. Your old person to be dead. It's not like... It's hard to understand because we are a new person, the Bible says. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But we're so comfortable with the old, sometimes we go back and we look for it and we scratch around in it and we feel more comfortable in that place. But we shouldn't get that comfortable there. We need to come to a place of full surrender. Again, on a daily basis, we need to give all of who we are to Him, lay it down at the foot of the cross and allow Him to live through us. Galatians 2:20. Christ's love or life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identify myself completely with Him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. This is what the Bible says, that we have been crucified with Christ. To identify totally with that is to believe that we truly have been crucified. Our old life, our old nature, our old self, our flesh nature has been crucified with Him. That's when we identify completely with Him. That's what it means, that we actually believe that our old nature was crucified with Christ on the cross. My ego is no longer central. This is our biggest problem, right? Our ego is generally central. Right? Like, that's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 11. He's going like, you know what, you guys, quit bickering, quit fighting, quit, you know, trying to get to the top, quit trying to eat all the food that's at the table before everybody else gets there, because that shows that it's still your ego that's central. And it can't be that. We have to move past that. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. So we got to stop playing games, right? As God's people, we have to stop playing the game that, you know, maybe we lift our hand in church because we want the guy beside us, or maybe our wife or our husband or our kids to see us doing that so that they'll believe that we're righteous. So they'll look at us and we'll be righteous in their eyes. That does not matter. What matters is that we're righteous in God's eyes, that we don't do it as a game or some kind of a trick. We don't leave our Bibles laying open on the table in the morning just so that our wife might think that we actually read it. We don't pretend to be Christians. We really are Christians. That's what God's called us to be. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer even driven to impress God because Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not my own, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What he's really saying there is, now, because I come to a full understanding of what Christ did for me, the thankfulness that wells from my heart, the you know, like I remember some of the old shows you'd see where somebody saved someone's life, and then they would tag around behind them and do anything for them, like they were indebted because they saved their life. That's sort of the picture, that when we understand that Jesus saved our life, that we feel so much love and so much that we feel like we want to serve Him and please Him. That it's not because now we live by a set of rules, the Ten Commandments, although they were good, that we now live from the rules written in our heart by love. I don't treat Christine the way I treat her because the law says I should treat my wife that way because I'm married to her. I treat Christine the way I treat her because I love her, and it flows out of my heart. And that's the way we have to learn to be as Christ followers, that it would flow out of our heart. The only way we're going to do that is when we keep going back to the Word of God and we keep going back to understanding the gift that God gave us in salvation and in our life every day, that we will grow thankful. Who you are to others should now be of no consequence, but who you are in Christ and identifying with Him in His crucifixion, and now drawing your life from being centered in Him is the important thing. Galatians 6:14 says, "But I will never brag about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His cross, the world is dead as far as I'm concerned, and I'm dead as far as the world is concerned." To understand, you're laying in a coffin, you're dead. Somebody could wave a $100 bill in front of you, and it means nothing. Somebody could wave a $1,000 bill in front of you, it means nothing. You're dead. $1 million, still nothing. Whatever. There's no temptation for a dead man. There's nothing that really is there for you in that anymore. And that's what the Bible teaches us. There really is nothing in the world for us anymore because we're dead men. That the things that the world tries to tempt us with, the things that we're so sometimes drawn to, it's just a symptom that maybe we aren't dead and we need to be dead. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, and because we identify with that through baptism, we're dead as far as the world is concerned. And its hold on us is broken because we now hold on to Jesus. We're so tightly clinging to Jesus that we don't have any room in our arms left for the world. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3 says, "So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ." That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your life. Your real life, your new life, with Christ is your real life. The old life is gone. It's dead. The second thing, if we're going to fulfill the great commandment or the great commission, is we have to realize that we have been sent. We have been sent. It's not an option. It wasn't the great suggestion. It wasn't the great idea that someone had. It was the great commission. It was like a sending out of God when He said to us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation." It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. Go. It was like speaking to everyone that was there. Go. He's speaking to us. Go into all the world. You're being sent by God. You're not out there on your own. You're not doing your own thing. You are sent by God. You're on a mission from God. You're not out there on your own, but you're part of the bigger picture of what God is doing in the earth. He wants you to do your part. There's people waiting on you. There's people waiting on you. I'm amazed sometimes at what happens. I mean, there's sometimes people that really have no connection. There was people that came to the church here and come to the church here that knew mom and dad 25 years ago. Right? Heard you speak in St. Catharines 25 years ago. Going through a struggle in their family, needed help from a church, looked them up, called here, came here, had their lives changed, growing in God, right? Because of something that happened 25 years ago. They're waiting on someone to show up in their life. And that someone could be you. Maybe you don't see it today, but maybe down the road again, you're going to see that pop back up. God's called you to do some things in this world. And He's waiting on you to do it. He has a part for you to play. And you got to do your part. He sent you to cast out devils. You, all of you. He sent all of you to speak in tongues. I believe this. If you can't get your head around the whole gift of tongues thing, understand this. That on the day of Pentecost, they were able to speak a language that people could understand, and understand that God loved them and had a plan for them. That Jesus died on the cross for them And it moved them so much that they were saved. 3,000 of them. 5,000 of them a couple days later. And it just grew and grew and grew. If you can't believe that God called you to speak in tongues as a gift of tongues, at least believe that God's called you to speak a language that people can understand and come to know Him. Because He can do that. He will do that. He wants to do that. He's commanding you to speak that. Called you to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. He called you to take some risks for the kingdom of God and not worry about what could happen because of it. I think a lot of times we're scared to take a risk. We're scared to take a step out. I know a lot of people won't go to places like Africa or China or India because they're scared of what could happen to them if they go. Who cares? If God calls you to go, go. Take a chance. Take a risk. Follow God. So we should do that by faith and in faith. It's not because of who we are in the flesh that we're sent. It's not because we're so good or so bad or so gifted or so talented. It's because we're sent by God. And we go in His power and His authority into the world. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about our giftedness or talent. It's about God's Spirit, that river of living water flowing out of us to people who need it. So go. Go. Don't wait. We just need to be obedient and do it. So many times we think we have to be more ready or more godly or more something or another. And we sit and we wait and we do nothing and people die and go to hell. And it's wrong. It's not about us. It's about God. We need to go. We need to do this stuff. We need to take some chances. We need to pray for some sick people and not worry about whether they're going to get up and be better or not. That's not our problem. That's God's problem. That's God's responsibility. He's just called us to pray. We don't heal them. God heals them. We need to cast out some devils and we need to trust that God's going to do the work, not us. We need to take some risk and not worry about it because it's God's thing, not our thing. We're dead people. Our life is now hidden with Christ and God. We need to step forward and do it. A pastor I know, actually Jim Cobray, a lot of you guys know him, that went to Valiant. He said one day he's standing at the front of his church and he'd been around 350 for like a few years. And he's praying and he's crying and he's saying, God, I'm so sorry that you can only trust me with 350 people. Sorry, I'm just not good enough to be trusted with more people. I'm sorry that you can't grow this church because I'm not able to handle more than that. And he's crying and weeping at the altar, just being sorrowful before God because of what he thinks he did wrong. And God spoke to him and said, so it's about you? It's you that grows the church? I thought it was me that grows the church. What are you talking about? And many of us do that. Many of us say, well, I'm just not good enough, or I just don't know enough Bible, or I'm just maybe not gifted enough or powerful enough. But today, that church, I was there last May, they run 20,000 people on a weekend. 13,000 people walk down their altars each year to give their heart to Jesus. That's God. There's no man. The guy can't hardly read. And God does that. God can use you. If God can use me, He can use you. We just got to step out and do it. So, the third thing we need to do is that we need to understand that we have authority as we go. We have authority. We're sent. We have authority. Matthew 28:18-20. And this is another one of the Gospels talking about the Great Commission. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I command you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. Amen. All authority has been given to Jesus. That's what the Bible says. In that verse, it says in many places. It says that the name of Jesus, every knee, both in heaven and earth, and under the earth, will bow to that name. the name of Jesus, highest authority in the universe. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And we're dead, right? The life we now live is lived in Jesus, right? By faith in the Son of God. So we live our life through Him now, or He lives His life through us. And when we go somewhere, He goes with us. And when He goes with us, His authority goes with us. We have authority. We've been sent by Him. He goes with us, and we have authority. So when we get in a tight place, and say, like, I remember, like, this guy Sean and his wife Tiffany were living in Smurf Village in Dunville. And they were calling the church, and they were saying, like, our furniture's moving around the house by itself. And people could walk into that room and command the devil to stop because they have authority in the name of Jesus. And it stopped. And Sean and Tiffany gave their hearts to Jesus. And I know for sure Sean is still serving Him, following Him. But that's the thing. When you get in a spot where you feel like God's calling you to pray, lay hands on somebody because they're sick, and you feel nervous and uptight about that, it's not about you again. It's about God, and it's His authority, not your authority. So you lay hands on them. You ask God to heal them. And that rest is up to God. It's His authority, His power. Just move out in it. We don't confront things in our own power. We confront them in the power of the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11 says, therefore God has highly exalted Him, Jesus, and has given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly ones and of earthly ones and of ones under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Again, Jesus has the authority. Jesus goes with us. The last thing I want to talk about this morning, I touched on it last week, but I want to go back to it, is allow yourself to be filled with compassion. Allow yourself to be hurt. Allow yourself to be touched by the needs of others. If there's one thing that defined the ministry of Jesus, it was His compassion. So many times in the New Testament, it says that Jesus was moved by compassion and He healed their sick. It was the story of John the Baptist beheading. It was Jesus' friend. They were related. Their mothers were cousins. John baptized Jesus and set Him out into ministry. It was at the baptism by John where Jesus was filled with the Spirit, where the Spirit came upon Him and empowered Him to walk out His earthly ministry. And it was at that time when He found out the news that John had been beheaded, He said to His disciples, let's go aside for a while and rest. Let's get alone for a while because we need some time. And they got into a boat and the crowds followed them. Crowds followed them along the shore. And then when they came to the shore, the crowd was there. And Jesus said, and He looked at them and He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In His hour of need, in His hour of pain, He was still touched by the pain of others. And He healed their sick. And He set their captives free. That's what the Bible teaches us, even in His hour of pain. So we need to allow God to move us with compassion. We need to allow that. We need to just allow ourselves to be hurt once in a while. One guy, Leon Fontaine, said it probably the best way I could ever understand it. He said, like, I'm not a guy that's good with hydro, because whenever I play around with hydro, I end up on my rear end every time. Like, it's just like guaranteed I'm going to touch the wrong thing and I'm going to get smacked, right? But if you take, I know this, if I have tape all over the end of something, I could touch the tape, I'm not getting smacked, right? It's all good because it's insulated. But if I tear that insulation off and I get aground and I touch that thing, I'm getting hit and I'm getting hit hard. A lot of us as Christians, our hearts are insulated. We don't let the pain of the world around us touch us. So when God's power wants to move through us, it can't because there's that insulation. There's that thing that stops the flow of God. through us. But if we'll tear that insulation off of our lives and let God lay our heart bare, then when we come in contact with someone that's hurting, someone that's in pain, someone that needs God, the power of God will flow out of us to them. We need to get uninsulated. We need to allow God to touch us. I told you last week, are you okay to tell it now or no? No, okay, so I'm going to tell it again because it was another cool story this week. Tanya, she said she was like she was really moved by God that, you know, like there was a ministry for her. And that ministry, she heard it through a country western song. I don't really know how anybody could hear anything from God through a country western song because, like, pretty much from the devil. But, sorry, it's like baseball. Anyway, I'm joking. I love country, sort of. But the song was, today I'm going to try and change the world. I'm going to shake hands with the stranger. I'm going to hold a door. I'm going to just take some time and listen to somebody. And she made up her mind that she was going to go out into the world. She was doing it as sort of an experiment to see what would happen. And I told you last week about the old guy that she was sat down in the mall with. He was just sitting on a bench in the middle of the mall. And she was walking by, you know, Tanya's moving along, and she's going for the door, and she says, I'm going to stop. Because that's what I made up my mind. I'm going to stop and sit down. I'm going to listen. So she went up to the guy, and she said, can I sit here and have a cup of tea with you? He says, yeah, sure, great. And he started telling his story about how when he was a young man, he was very influential in business, and he had a lot of people working for him. A lot of people came to him for advice, but now he was old, and he was lonely, and he came to the mall every day just so that he could look at people, so he could be around people, and just hope that somebody would stop and talk to him. And that day, God answered his prayer. This past 2 weeks, I guess it was last week, right, Tanya? She was at Walmart, and she met this girl who was walking her baby to the daycare. Her baby, her one older son, and her one young daughter, and to the daycare. And she looked in the stroller, and she saw that the baby had blood running from its nose. So she called 911, and by the time the ambulance got there, the baby was dead. And that was 3 weeks before that Tanya ran into her. And the night before Tanya ran into her, she told Tanya that her husband had left her and that he'd always been a really good husband, but he just couldn't handle the pressure and the pain of losing a baby, so he had left her. And how their older boy was acting up in school now because he'd seen it all happen right in front of him. And how it was just horrible. And how that they didn't have the money to bury the baby, so that the city did it. And they marked the grave with a little piece of plastic and a number. And the doctors and the nurses took up a collection and they bought a little tombstone for the grave. But the city wouldn't let them put the gravestone on the grave unless they paid for the grave. And they didn't have the money. And how they couldn't find counseling because it was just such a mess. And there was so much pain and so much torment in the family. And we walk by this every day. Every day. There's one girl just trying to make a difference. And every time I tell her, talk to her, she has another story just like this. And it breaks my heart. But it was for this reason that the Son of God was made manifest. It was for this reason that he called us to go into all the world. It was for this reason that we're here. And we're so busy worrying about ourselves and our own comforts when there's a world that's so desperate and so in need of us and of what God can do. Here's a quote by William Booth. He was the founder of the Salvation Army. Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come to this place. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstance in the march to publish his mercy to the world. Henry Noonan said, "Compassion means to suffer with, to live with those who suffer. When Jesus saw the woman of Nain, he realized this is a widow who has lost her only son. And he was moved by compassion. He felt the pain of that woman in his guts. He felt her pain so deeply in his spirit that out of that compassion, he called the son to life so he could live, could give that son back to his mother." In Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 12, or 11 and on, it says, "Not long after that, Jesus went to the village of Nain. His disciples were with him, along with a great crowd. And as they approached the village gate, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial, and the mother was a widow. Then Jesus saw her, his heart broke, and he said to her, 'Don't cry.' Then he went over and touched the coffin. The pallbearers stopped, and he said, 'Young man, I tell you, get up.' The dead son sat up and began talking, and Jesus presented him to his mother." I'm just going to have Sarah play a short video here. It's a song by a guy named Keith Green. It's an older song. But as you listen to it, just allow God to speak to your heart. And just make some commitments to God. While you sit here and watch this, just say a prayer in your own heart. When this is done, the band will come up, close in a song, and then we'll move on. But allow God to touch you and move you with compassion. Go ahead, Sarah. I think it's on mute, the bottom corner. Just restart it.
Thank you.
And it really all comes back to that again. Come away. Take some time. Be in the presence of the Lord. Feel His heart for the lost. Feel His heart for those that are hurting. And just allow Him to move through you. Lord,